Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Unscripted Scripture, where I'm Zach.
I'm Jack.
Yeah. Guys, me and Jack are in the same room. Jack's back from college.
What's up?
We get to have fun. We're sitting here on the couch, just really relaxed, and we're ready to bring you another candid, I don't know, what are we calling this? Candid season two episode.
Just a convo. You and me, man.
Yeah, convo.
Just a convo.
Sure.
That's all it is.
Jack mentioned last week a little bit that we're looking to create a studio, and so we're really excited about that. But until then, some couch talk will be done. But yeah, it just relaxes us and makes it seem like it's an everyday thing. So this week, would you have anything to say before I tell them? Well, they already know what we're listening to because of the title.
Yeah.
But integrity is what we're touching on today.
When I was driving back, to get here, and on the side of the road, like just before I pulled into my development, was a sign that said Integrity Lawn Care. And it was like bright as day, like right in front of me. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like getting ready to do this. And that was cool.
I guess, yeah.
But, yeah, like you guys already know, yeah, we're looking at integrity. You know, you and me, like, we wanted to talk about it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a hard time unwrapping it, and I think we still do. You know, it's a lot, and we got to be honest, and, like, we don't really know what it means for sure. Like, it's hard to define. It's hard to put into words unless you really look at, like, the definition and of experiences of it and where it's talked about in the Bible. But, I think we can do a good job of discussing it today.
So, yeah, well, we might learn something in our conversations here with each other, just bringing it about. Kind of a little backstory of what me and Jack do each week is we kind of study the word that we're going to be kind of presenting to you guys. And we don't talk about it at all. We might give each other a little here and there's, but we don't say anything until we hit that play button and we record for you guys. So you guys will just be hearing the conversation me and Jack have about what we found, and maybe we'll get some answers. But this week we're learning. So learn with us.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, this word is so, it's not really defined to certain things. You know, when I looked through it, the Hebrew word for it, which I don't even know how to say, but the Hebrew word for integrity is defined as like the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, wholeness. And that was the Hebrew word for it. So kind of like how the Old Testament has wrapped it up. But in the New Testament, it's meant to talk about honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works, which I think is a really cool point. You know, adhering to a pattern of good works. So it's just a string of obedience and good works to God. And I think that difference in definitions is like where the confusion comes.
Yeah.
When we try to ask, like, what is integrity?
And for me, it's not, I haven't found like it's one thing that is like one thing I've been able to grasp and hold on to. Like, you know, like it's not all honesty. Like, you know, it's honesty to God. Am I understanding that?
Yeah.
Right. So like your actions, your honesty to God. But I feel like it can be a whole lot of different things. Whereas I think of humility, we can kind of say that's just not boasting, not bragging. We can kind of put our hands around that and say, this is what it is. I've just really felt like in studying it, I haven't been able to grasp exactly what it is.
It's something that I've like steered away from, at least when like studying the word and it would come up, I'd be like, oh, you know, honesty. I'm like, I know what honesty is. And then I push it to the side. So yeah, I never really looked deep into it, but I think some of these stories that we'll get into like help me to understand it more. And help me to kind of look at it in a different light. You know, in a light that's pleasing to God and like relating to Jesus, first of all, and how he lived.
Yeah. So, we'll open up our Bibles, and start, Jack, you want to take it away from, are you going to start Luke. In Luke?
Yeah, I'll start all in right. Luke 4. And I kind of just came to this after looking online and then looking at how other, preachers have attacked this before, and actually found a website that talked about like how to teach your kids about integrity. I'm like, really? Oh, that's perfect for us.
Nice. Like, yeah, that's what we need.
It's so easy. It's so
integrity
simple.
For dummies.
Yeah, that's what it is. So we look at Luke 4, and this is a, you know, powerful story that we all might know, any believer, about Jesus being tested in the wilderness after he is baptized. He goes off into the wilderness, and the devil just confronts him. This is the 40 days, 40 nights, where he's tempted by the devil, and he fasted during this whole time. But the devil, I think, sends him three tests. The first, in 4:3, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answers, man shall not live on bread alone. So that was the first test. And the next one, the devil took him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and said, I will give you all their authority and splendor. I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written that you worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So that was the second test.
Okay.
The third test, devil took him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple, said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down here, sound from here, for it is written, and he quotes Psalm 91, that he will command his angels to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus answers, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So all this time, and those three times that Jesus replies to him, that was scripture he quoted. He quoted Old Testament Deuteronomy. And so when we look at like how, yeah, this is cool, because in this I was like, how did Jesus demonstrate integrity here based on those definitions that the Hebrews had and or the Jews had and they had in the New Testament? How do we look at Jesus as a man of integrity based off of those trials and those tests? That's a big question. And I think, to me, it's the fact that Jesus was a holy man, and not holy as in H-O-L-Y, holy as in W-H-O-L-L-Y, that he was holy for God. Like, he was, his whole being was God.
Mm.
And by turning every test back to, that's not what God wants, that's not what is written, that's not what we're supposed to do, that's how he maintains his adherence to the pattern of good works, you know, adhering to the law, adhering to the word.
Yeah, and he perfection. Did. And in all of it, he pointed it back to God. He pointed it back to Old Testament scripture, almost every test, right?
Yeah.
For everyone, I know.
Yeah.
That's what you're feeling like in... Jesus was showing integrity there, or he had integrity?
Yeah, he had integrity. He demonstrated it because he was a witness to God's law. Like he revamped that and just pounded the devil with truth. Like he's just like that's not, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah.
Because I know that's wrong because of this. This is written.
There was a because. Yeah, he gave the
it's
reason
an honest
why.
Truth.
Yeah.
Like, that's the integrity. It's the honest truth. Or the Old Testament. Like, you are without blemish. You are wholeness, upright. You stand upright for the Lord. Mm. You know, you are obedient to him and you stand for him. And Jesus did that in this situation. He did that. I mean, he did that his whole life, but. Mm-hmm.
So big thing integrity, like that I get about integrity is I think like doing stuff for God behind closed doors. Kind of like being true to God, being whole to God. I think that's a good way of looking at it because, yeah, you can put on a face when you're around your Christian friends, when you go to church. But what do you do when you're not there? What do you do when you're home? Maybe you're in your room all by yourself. What are you doing? Or what do you do when you're out on the street? No one knows you. You're at work. You're not around those Christian friends. What are you doing in those moments? Are you still honest and whole to God? I look at Matthew 6. Talks about prayer. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Yeah, I like that.
So right there pretty much just explains how awesome it is. I don't know how to put it.
No, I got you.
How awesome is it? You like that?
Yeah.
How awesome it is that you're able to be whole with God behind a closed door.
Yeah. It's not, you know, boastfulness and it's not pride. I think pride can get in the way here. We'll see that with Job when we get into Job, but in that instance, like, it's so much easier for it's hard to pray by yourself. Like, it's hard to do that, and I think we kind of overlook that. You know, we want to always let people know or demonstrate our faith to others, whether we say it or not. Mm-hmm. We like that people think of us as Christian.
Oh yeah.
And if we can show that by wearing the shirts, you know, putting the necklaces on, you know, whatever it may be.
Right. It's it's a fashion statement. Yeah. Like, it's like I'm a Christian. I'm cool.
Exactly.
Like, this is who I am. This is my vibe.
And if you're only doing it when the camera's on you or when people are watching, then how are you maintaining that honesty to God that, like, this is truly who I am? This is, I'm holy for you. Yeah. You know, I'm whole in Christ. It's your whole being. It's not part of you. It's not the public side of you, but the private side, like you said, the part of you that can go behind a door and pray, you know, and drop on your knees and cry out to God like that. That is when God is pleased with you there. It's not that he's not pleased with you all the time when you pray to him, but if you're praying the same way that you would in any circumstance, you pray that same way, whether you're alone, whether you're with someone, whether you're with, you know, people who you don't want to pray in front, like, that demonstrates integrity, you know, because you're just giving him all you are. I think that's really good.
That's kind of what when I went through this, that's the only tidbit where I was like, okay, I think I can grasp this. I think I know. Because I always try to look for a challenge in myself in one of these words. How can I challenge myself this week? And that was my thing. Okay, am I who I am when I am with my Christian friends? Am I true the whole entire time? Or am I being lukewarm in situations where I'm not around Christians?
Yeah.
Or the door is closed and it's just me and no one's watching. My mom always, the comment, she was always like, would you do it if your grandma was sitting beside you? So I guess that's something I always took, because God, you don't see God right beside you.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just thinking of stuff like when you get tempted of something online or something, no one's around.
Yeah.
Most of the times you're going to lead to that temptation. You're going to fill with that temptation. One of the biggest things that I loved, this Jack did this. He put, you put God, Jesus, as your screensaver. Mm. And, so there, Jesus is there. Like, it's kind of hard for you not to see Jesus because You know, you unlock your phone and there he is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I remember you doing that. I always had a lot of respect. I think I wanted to get a big Jesus poster above my bed someday.
Cause yeah.
You know, what are you going to do when you're all by yourself in the bedroom?
I think there's no limit to that. Like, that's, I think if you can create steps to, you know, make time for him and show that you, yeah, make reminders for yourself.
Mm.
And like, you know, whether that's, I have like scripture I write on my mirror and things like that. Just, you know, like Jenna has scripture in her car, like on the windshield, like okay. A little post-it note that she gets in and she can read that. Like, it's just, there's no limit to how much you pray and how much you're talking to God. So if you're constantly putting reminders of his truth and of his word all around you, then he's always on your mind. Like, he's always there. And like, you're like, oh man, maybe I should, like, that's, if you look at it and you're like, maybe that's him like saying I should pray now, or I should, you know, I should say something or just look to him. Like, you never know what that situation will call for. So you're just continuing to build that part of your life. That,
yeah. And you say that, and I'm not big into tattoos, but I can definitely see why someone gets like a Bible verse.
Yeah.
Like, you see that and you're motivated to stay hold of God.
Yeah.
Keep that integrity. Yeah, sure. But did you want to jump into your Job?
Oh yeah, Job. We definitely got to do a podcast on Job.
I know. We mentioned before that we were going to try to, and we it's wanted long. To fully understand. Yeah, and it's long. Might be another series.
Yeah, for sure. No, because Job. Yeah, Job is long, but like, it's powerful, man. It is heavy. Mm. But I'm gonna get into Job 2 here. I mean, it just mentions integrity a couple times. That word itself. So to set it up, Job has gone through a lot of bad stuff, you know. Job 1 was, he was pleased with Job for being such a righteous and upright man, a God-fearing man. He had a lot of land, he had a great job, great livestock, huge family, you know. But the devil came to him and said that, I'm going to get Job to turn his back on you. You know, I'm going to get Job to denounce you as Lord.
Devil said this to God.
God, yeah.
Yeah.
And God said, you know what? Go for it. Because, you know, he has faith in Job. He says, stretch out your hands and strike everything he has. That's Satan, sorry. So the devil's saying, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. And the devil just destroyed him. He took away his livestock. He killed all of his servants. The devil took away his family. His children were killed in a, like, I guess an earthquake or like a hurricane type thing in the desert that came and like dropped the house on him. And so his family died, and Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Mm. So he continued to stay faithful to God after everything was taken from him. But in Job 2 is where we're going to look at when the devil came back to the Lord, and the Lord said again, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and he is upright. Upright, that's one of the definitions of integrity. A man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity through you, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. And then Satan says, skin for skin, a man will give all he has for his own life, but now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord agreed that he put Job in Satan's hands, but he said, you cannot kill him. You have to spare his life. So Satan afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet, to the crown of his head. And then Job had taken a piece of pottery and broken pottery, and he scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. So his own wife
Yeah, telling him
told
to
him
turn.
To curse God. The one person that had probably stood by him through all this, mm-hmm. through all the chaos that happened to him recently. And she that first time when they lost everything, the people they loved, she didn't say anything, or at least it doesn't say that she said anything. But when he's afflicted with it, she's like, okay, now it's too far. Now she's angry with God.
Right. Because she sees, well, I think the devil, I was always taught that the devil used her to try to get to Job.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was definitely in her ear telling her off. But
right.
I just, yeah, man, I don't even know how to wrap my head around this. Like, he's a man, he is the man of integrity, and he's maintained that integrity for his whole life.
Good and the bad. Yeah. You can see, like, he was had it all and then got it all taken away.
Like, when we talk about being whole in God, when we talk about having wholeness and being all in, like, this guy was it, man. He loved God before his wife, which is what we're all called to do. We're all called to love God first.
That's the hardest thing, because you can see your wife. You can wrap your hands around your wife, but you can't wrap your hands around God.
Yeah. And she was cursing him. She's cursing God. And, like, they probably got together because they saw God in each other. And they were built on that bond for God. And, like, they found it on that. And she's cursing him. So,
right.
So, I just wait, love you think, his you think, love like, for that.
She used to love God, and
yeah, the fact that just because of the fact that Job, the first time he went through this, she said nothing.
Right, she wasn't
even after her kids had died.
Right,
and now when Job's afflicted with it, she's had enough. Like, she had reached her breaking point, and we all have. I mean, we've all at least I have. Yeah. I speak for myself. Like, gotten angry with God. And just cry out, like, why are you doing this to me? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? So I can relate to her, but I relate to that, but the fact that Job still would not give up the Lord, would not curse God. He replied to her, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
That's tough, because, I mean, I've been in a lot of serious relationships, and, like, you being with the girl, you always want to go with, like, whatever they're saying, because it will make your life easier.
Yeah.
In most of the times. But Job was able to stand firm. You've been in a relationship. Do you think there's some things that you've been blind that God wants you to do, and you're just so blind because of what you do for your spouse, your significant other?
I mean, yeah, it depends the relationship you're in.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're in a relationship where the person is not, you know, they're not following the Lord.
But this, she was. That's what I'm saying.
And that's, like, hard. Like, I cannot, like, Job,
we think
having
that
maturity,
was.
having that maturity, having that type of faith.
Right, and that's, yeah, exactly. That's what I was trying to put into perspective. How close he was with God and
Jesus,
how holy he was.
The Lord said there is no one on earth like him. This is like, he's like the greatest Christian on earth. If
he
you
would
definitely
give him a title. Be drafted in the top 10.
Dude, number one overall pick.
What? No. You got Jesus.
Oh, okay. At this time.
I mean, Bible. Oh, okay.
At this time, dude. Like, because that when God was having this conversation with the devil, he's like, right now, nobody on earth is like this man. This guy is different. Mm. He's different, dude. And we see that, like, he's telling his wife off. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like going against his wife, and he's saying, no, like, how can you say that stuff about God? Like, he understands things that she just doesn't. That's the type of, I think we're mentioning this because it's the greatest example, other than Jesus, of how we look at integrity, what it means. It's so hard to grasp because someone as unfathomable as Job and Jesus were able to master it.
Okay.
They were able to master it in the toughest times. Like, it's wholeness. It's perfection. It's faithfulness to the T. And like, we might never get to that point, but that's the point we try to get to.
Right. Okay. So that this is the scripture side of it. Let's try to like modernize it. What do you think that looks like? Modernized, like in everyday, in someone's everyday life.
Well, I'll go off that. I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
Have you ever struggled to trust God in knowing what's best for you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes we're afraid that by doing what the Lord says, we'll end up losing what's most important to us. You know, like Job's wife did.
Yeah.
She's like, how can I follow the Lord when everything I thought was important to me is gone now? Everything I had once loved is gone. So how do I follow this guy? And like when people now look at God and or non-believers say, how can I believe in a God that just allows all this bad stuff to happen in the world? How should I follow something, someone that just lets that happen? And like that's a reasonable question. Like that's a question that we ask as Christians. We're like, yeah, I don't know what that, like, we can't answer that. But then our answer to that is, our like rebuttal is like, we just have faith that he's working everything out for our own good. And it's to the point, like Job, he didn't give her an answer. He didn't say, I know, like, I'm doing it because of these reasons.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm doing it because I trust God.
Yeah.
Like, because I have to.
There was no excuses. It was, this is it. Like, you're wrong, I'm right. This is it. God is it.
He just had faith. And, like, he didn't know what was going to happen, how his life's going to turn out, you know? He didn't know if he was going to die. He had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But he just persevered and
maintained. One of those. I think it was one of those things where Job's wife loved Job more than she loved God. Which God tells us to love our husbands and our wives. Like, he tells us to love each other, but to put him first. Mm. So it's one of those, like, okay, I'm doing the right thing by loving my wife, but am I putting God first?
Yeah.
And I think in this instant in Job, I think she loved Job more because she saw all the pain that he went through. I don't know if anything happened to her. Yeah, I don't know if she was untouched. But she saw everything he lost, everything that was happening to him, all the pain he was in. So she's like, just be done with it.
Yeah.
Like, you're going through all this pain. I don't want you to see you go through all this pain.
Awesome. I mean, it's something that we're not going to stop looking at. I think it's important that you and I continue to test ourselves and...
Me too.
Read more about it and try to, you know, look at how God wants us to understand it for real.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. Good one. I love this. Thank you guys for listening. This is a great topic that is tough to swallow. It's really hard to get into, but I think through understanding Jesus and how he demonstrated integrity and now looking at Job, it's a good start. It's a good foundation, and I challenge you to continue to get into Job and Luke as well. Once again, you guys can send us a voice message through Anchor. If you guys have any feedback or stuff that you want to hear or listen to, just click the link and send us something. If you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and then we send out episodes every Sunday on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you guys. Love you.